Remain calm. I have trained for this. Okay. Exit the window! Here we go.
Make a U-turn, if possible.
Look out for Legion! Michael! Are you okay? Swim for it! I got you! Michael! Let go of me! Come on!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly. 5-1. We are here. We are back. The Giants are here. The Giants are back. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow us at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Download the Mojo app in the App Store. Weiss. Holy shit.
Pat on the back to me.
Picked the Ravens to lose to the New York Giants last week with our episode that we did with Spencer from Ravens for Dummies. So I will take my my pat on the back.
No.
Properly.
Now, you can take your victory lap because now we're doing...
I'll take whatever I want.
The only time we're running laps is when we would do victory laps. We don't run laps.
No, we weren't even running victory laps with Joe Judge. We were just running laps to run laps.
Exactly. I was going to say, we were running laps before. Now we're running victory laps.
I'm not even going to say we. I never ran a lap in my life. Fuck Joe Judge. I will take a victory lap. I am done picking against the Giants. This is a team that doesn't quit. This is a team that is now used to being down in games. What is that? The third win where they've been down 10 plus, might've been the fourth one where they're down 10 plus. They are used to the adversity. They, despite the fact that they are young, they keep calm. They don't waver. They know what needs to get done. And this team just has a special feeling to it. What a game. I mean, at no point did I ever consider the Giants out of it on Sunday. So I really don't know what to say, where to start. This team, like I said, has a special feeling to it. And after you predicted 5 wins, I predicted 6 wins. Here we are, week 6, sitting at 5-1. Now looking at the schedule, figuring out, okay, based on the division, based on the NFC, how many wins do we need to get to a wild card spot? What a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I think the last 2 weeks have been so... I mean, all season has been, you know, enjoyable, but what the Giants have accomplished the last 2 weeks, I think if you came into the season, right, not even into the season, you know, I'm talking about when the team was 3-1, you know, after that Dallas game, you know, you take care of business against Chicago and you're 3-1 and you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, I got two really tough opponents coming up. Best case scenario, maybe I can get one of them and get to 4-2. I don't think a lot of people thought, hey, we're going to win both these games. But here we are. I think it shows how much the culture is changing with this organization, how much they're figuring out how to win, how much winning is being incorporated. They have that. It's not just the fact that, you know, it's the coaching staff. I think the players' mindset toward a lot of things have changed. You know, if you look at this season, how many times, you know, not just Sunday, but overall, have you said, man, if this was last year, if this was, you know,
I mean, every week, this team under Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman probably has 0 wins.
Yeah. So, I mean, you put that into perspective of, like, you know, stuff is changing. And while the personnel hasn't changed as much, you know, the contributors that we're seeing, like Julian Love making that interception, Julian Love has been here, you know, Dexter Lawrence, you know, being that, you know, stout defensive lineman, he's been here, you know. Daniel Jones has been here. What we're seeing is these guys are learning how to win football games. They're not wavering in adversity. They're not wavering when shit is down. You know, down 20-10 to Lamar Jackson with 12 minutes to go. You put together a great touchdown drive to cut it to 3. And then you get that big, you know, turnover. And I understand people are going to say, well, that's a terrible play by Lamar Jackson. But I remember Lamar making that same similar play against the Buffalo Bills. And it was all over, you know, SportsCenter and all these highlight shows about how it's such a great play. So Julian Love.
They love you when it works.
Exactly. And the Giants are figuring out how to win. Their quarterback is playing mistake-free football. He's making winning plays when it matters. He's making smart decisions. And that's important. Then obviously you have Saquon Barkley, who didn't have a big statistical game, but once again, making plays when it matters. When it's so important, Ethan. Like, I understand this is a passing league and passing is important, but when you want to run the ball, or when you got to run the ball and you can, like, that's a fucking big strength to have. You got to run out the clock. You got to burn those timeouts. What were the Giants able to do? They were able to run the football. On that drive, when they needed a touchdown, what were they able to do? They were able to run the ball. And I think that's so important, man. It's such a important – it's almost like a necessity. You need to be able to do that. You need to be able to run the ball when you got to. I'm not saying you shape your entire offense to run the ball, but when there's a time in a game where you got to get a yard or where you got to get some first downs to run out the clock and you're able to run the ball, that is a great pillar to have in your offense. And I think, you know, like I said, I think this team is figuring out how to win games. They're not wavering in adversity, and they're 5-1, and they did it the last 2 weeks by beating, you know, two MVP level quarterbacks. Their defense just continues to, I really don't know how they do it. I mean, Lamar was going up and down the field all day long, and then
they were the epitome of bend but don't break. I mean, they were outgained by the Ravens by over 150 total yards. Yards per play was also a huge disparity. And again, they just find ways to win.
I think that the Ravens had 400 yards or over 400 yards total offense.
They did. It was like 408 yards, I believe.
Yeah. And the Giants had like 280 something. So,
yeah.
I mean, you see the discrepancy in the yards per play was like 7 point something to 3 point something. So they almost, you know,
doubled.
Yeah. But the Giants are just finding ways to win football games. The last 2 weeks have been simply amazing in terms of defensive performance. I think when you look at Sunday, Brian Daboll and his coaching staff, I thought, once again, outcoached another very good coach.
I agree. And I also think that this was probably Brian Daboll's worst game as head coach of the Giants.
They were a little conservative in that first half.
Too conservative.
Yeah.
Especially at the end. I'm looking at the game log again. I was pulling my hair out. Justin Tucker kicks a 34-yard field goal to go up 10-7.
Right.
Giants have the ball with a minute 45 and I think like two timeouts. And they go, Daniel Jones rush up the middle, Saquon Barkley rush to the right side. Back-to-back plays for a total of 5 yards. Baltimore takes timeout. Giants incompletion. All of a sudden, you're giving the ball back to Baltimore with a minute left.
And I think the incompletion was like a weird play to like David Sills. Like it wasn't a high percentage play.
Right. And at the end of the day, I mean, I don't want to say it worked out because the Ravens didn't score any points with the minute left, but the Giants had the ball twice in under 2 minutes and didn't score. I didn't love it. I think early in the game, the Giants found themselves in third and long far too often. I think Daniel Jones did a really, really good job of bailing them out of that. But again, you want to stay out of those third and long situations. So when it comes to that, I didn't love it. Saquon Barkley, it seems to be a theme every week with definitely Daniel Jones. Saquon, it's tough because he started the season so strong, especially with Daniel Jones. We sort of sit here and we're like, that was his best game. Next week, that was his best game. Next week, no, actually, that was probably his best game as a Giant, which is great. It's what you love to see. Saquon Barkley, probably one of my favorite Saquon games, and that's saying a lot given the big statistical performances that he has had over the last 4 years. One, he ran tough. Two, he was banged up with the shoulder injury. He pulled himself out of the game once or twice, basically looking like he had a limp noodle hanging off from his body. And then to come back into the game a couple plays later and just lower the boom, like, fuck it, don't care, I'm still gonna get those tough yards. He didn't really need to, but on his final touchdown, he tried to go up and over again with a bum shoulder, came down on it from pretty high. That's tough. And then probably the most selfless play he's ever made as a Giant, not scoring that touchdown at the end, having the wherewithal to go down and just, hey, let's end the game right here. That's team football.
I have Saquon on that. My fantasy team. I would have loved if he would have scored. Just
well, I'm sure you still won. Are you going to win?
I mean, I'm winning, but it's a little bit. I'm on the edge of my seat because he has a couple of guys tonight, and he's still projected to beat me by like a point or two. So it's a toss. Right,
well, up. It would be a little perfect fuck you from Saquon if he does the smart thing, and you know.
I know.
But what? We're a Giants podcast. We're not a fantasy podcast. So again, I loved what I saw out of Saquon running tough with that injury. Not easy. So kudos to him. He's a tough son of a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, Barkley's been, he's sort of been the catalyst of this team, this offense all year. And again, it's the tough yards. We talk about it, right? All season long. What's the one thing that Saquon is doing a lot better? It's the fact that he's getting that those tough yards. You know, he's having these big statistical performances without those 60-yard runs, right?
Yeah.
So it's impressive. He's becoming an effective runner. I think that's something that's
interesting. Yeah. This is interesting. What do you think about this? Ian Rappaport just tweeted, the Titans are releasing wide receiver Josh Gordon off their practice squad.
are you messing with me or are you serious?
Which part?
With Josh Gordon.
They released him? Yeah, that's dead ass.
I don't think Josh Gordon is Josh Gordon better than David Sills?
Yes. Yes. He's better than Marcus Johnson. I don't care how old he is, how long it's been, how many drugs he's taken. He is better than all of those guys. anyway,
I didn't even know that Josh Gordon was on the Texans, to be honest. I thought he was still on the Chiefs. But anyways, I do, when I, with Saquon, it's the fact that he's becoming an effective runner that's really making me like, okay, this dude is, he's taking his game to another level. And Sunday, it wasn't like there wasn't a lot of holes there. He wasn't able to get big yardage. But like I said, in those moments where they needed to run the ball and they needed Saquon to get those yards, he hit the hole, he made a move, and he got an extra 2 yards. So it was like instead of a 3 yard gain, it's a 5 yard gain. Instead of a 5 yard gain, it's like an 8 yard gain. So just important, man. When you're able to, like I said, when you're able to run the ball when you need to, it's a huge, huge pillar to your offense.
Absolutely. What else on the offense?
Nothing on the offense. I want to talk about the defense for a second.
I think we should talk about Evan Neal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. He had one QB hurry allowed on 32 pass blocking snaps.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing I saw. I do have a Pro Football Focus subscription. I do pay $80 a year for it. I went to double check that, and I saw they didn't have their game grades up yet. So,
oh
yeah,
a little misinformation on the timeline.
Maybe, or maybe they just, somebody from the Pro Football Focus, one of their guys
tweeted out.
Yeah, maybe. But when I went to go double check it before sharing it, I didn't see it. So I was like, let me just hold off. They typically post their grades overnight.
Got it. Okay.
But Evan Neal, I thought
he still had
a
good game.
I thought he had a very good game pass blocking. We'll talk about the rookies in a second, but you know, I think this is what you want to see from not just Evan Neal, but any rookie, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're a rookie, you're going to struggle, right? It's early in the season, but as the season progresses, what do you want to see? Okay, improvements, 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 and that's what Evan Neal has shown. You know, since that Dallas game where it was sort of like the lowest of the low for him,
and we knew that was going to be his worst game.
Yeah, and then
it was tough to get worse,
right? But what did he do? He bounced back from it, overcame the adversity. That's sort of what we talked about at the beginning of the show with this team, is they're a resilient team. They can overcome things, and I thought Evan Neal, perfect example of that is, hey, has a terrible game, gives up, I think it was 4 sacks to DeMarcus Lawrence, called it the worst game he's ever played as a football player on any level. What does he do? Bounces back, has a good game, you know, was all right against Chicago, had some struggles against Green Bay, but then, you know, as we got to Baltimore,
we're going to see it. It's okay.
Maybe he had his best career game against Baltimore. So, and Baltimore has some really good pass rushers.
They do.
Very good defensive front.
Especially one that we're familiar with.
Right. So, You look at that.
Which, by the way, I hate that he wears number 4.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It really is.
4 is a kicker number or a punter number.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Even quarterbacks that wear 4. Like, think about the quarterbacks that wear 4. Brett Favre wore number 4.
Watson.
Deshaun Watson wore number 4.
Yeah. My what about list, Dak? Is Dak number 4?
Oh, yeah. Dak Prescott wears number 4. But when I think of 4, I think of Brett Favre and Deshaun Watson, and I'm immediately turned off by that number.
Yeah, not good company.
Yes. And fuck the Cowboys. So
fuck them. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Evan Neal, like any other rookie, you just want them just to continue to get better. As
develop, progress. Yeah.
Because that was sort of like the main thing about the season, right? Like coming into it, it's like.
Yeah, we want to see progress from these guys.
Individual progress, individual achievement. The team might not win a lot of games, but as long as these rookies are getting better, these young players are getting better, that's sort of a win. And now you're getting double that because you're winning games and your rookies are getting
and people are getting better.
Yeah. The defense.
The defense.
If you were to ask me to script this game, right, like just script it from A to Z, I don't think I could have been able to script it any better.
Well, I disagree. The only way you could have scripted it better if Kenyon Drake didn't average like 11 yards per carry and go for 117 on 10 carries. Yeah,
but when you're writing a movie, the bad guy has his moments.
That's okay. That's fair.
It's not like 55-0 and, you know, that's a boring movie.
Sure.
Right? Like, if you're talking about give me an Oscar-worthy film, they're going to have their moments too, and you're going to be down and you're going to need somebody to step up. I've been saying it for a couple weeks now. I thought Kayvon Thibodeau was getting there. He was getting close. He was coming. And when they needed a play most, lo and behold,
there he was.
Yes. I could not have scripted a better ending to that game.
Game sealing. Sack fumble.
In the clutch when team needed it most against a quarterback that we know is as elusive as probably the most elusive quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Against an MVP, and Kayvon Thibodeau comes out and makes a huge, huge play to seal the game for the Giants. Really, really happy for him. I was ecstatic seeing.
He was in tears.
That was something when you see a guy in tears. By the way, that's the guy that they said didn't care about football nearly enough. Which, right. That's, again, these draft takes are wild. But anyways, Thibodeau making that play. I was so happy for him. Because I knew that the chatter was just only like every week was only going to get like more and more. Like, he doesn't have a sack. Right. He doesn't have a sack. Just for him to get it. Because when I watched him the last couple of weeks, I was seeing a guy that was getting close. Like, I was seeing a guy that was coming to form. And I was like, man, I really even in the Green Bay game, I thought he had a great game, but he didn't have a sack. So I was like, you know what? It's not going to get talked about because he didn't fill out that stat sheet. But I thought he had a great game. I thought he was that play that Dexter Lawrence got that sack. I thought it, you know,
Kayvon helped.
Right. And in this game, for him to get it, I was just so happy for him. He had another very, very good game. And again, it's poetic just for Kayvon to get that moment in Giants Stadium or MetLife Stadium against the Ravens, seals the game. Phenomenal. The rest of the defense, Dexter Lawrence, I think, is an all pro at this point.
I agree.
I mean, he's got to be in that conversation. Leo still coming back from injury. I didn't think his impact is going to show later on as he continues to recover.
Sure.
The Ravens really went after the Giant linebackers. Jalen Smith's sort of the fact that he's lost a step, it showed a lot in this game because he was struggling with these tight ends. Isaiah Likely had, you know, was really taking advantage of him. Mark Andrews was taking advantage of everybody. I saw people saying, oh, this is why they brought in Landon. I don't think Landon Collins is that somebody that you can say, hey, I'm going to stick you on this tight end. And, you know, I don't think that's the case. I think that's just the weakness of the Giant defense right now is the fact
that. And I think that perfectly sort of encapsulates why they are bend but don't break. They are not going to be a perfect defense. I think we're all a little bit surprised by how strong the defensive line is. I think we didn't really expect this Dexter Lawrence breakout. Kayvon having the impact that he's having early on, Leonard Williams, like the defensive line has turned into a strength from
we haven't seen Aziz yet. We haven't seen Ojulari yet.
From a position that was widely considered to be one of their biggest weaknesses last year and coming into this year being more of a question mark because, you know, you did spend fifth overall on a defensive end. But again, like the breakout of Dexter Lawrence just totally transforms that unit. So really, really thrilled for them. Agree with what you said about the linebackers. But again, like this team is far from perfect roster wise. So I'm sort of surprised that all these other teams didn't really do what the Ravens did with Mark Andrews and with Kenyon Drake and exposing those linebackers at the second level. But I guess like that's really not their strength. Like the Packers' strength isn't their tight ends. You know, the Titans' strength really isn't their tight end. I'm sort of surprised that the Panthers didn't do it with McCaffrey at the second level. But then again, you look at who their head coach was and you're just like, I sort of understand why. But for the Ravens to do it makes a lot of sense. Mark Andrews, second best tight end in the game.
Lamar Jackson, because they were missing receivers too.
Yeah, but even if, I mean, who else would they have? Rashad Bateman.
That was the scary thing is the fact that they just weren't throwing to receivers. They were just throwing to the tight ends, and the Giants couldn't stop it.
It was like watching the Giants against the Cowboys.
The Giants tried, like they made an adjustment. They tried to stick Julian Love, but you know Mark Andrews is just so much bigger.
He's
than
a
Julian
huge
Love,
dude. Yeah.
Right. So and then it's like okay, you stick a linebacker on him, but the linebacker's not fast enough.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I still think, again, I keep harping on it's like a part of adversity, right? Like they got a mismatch. You're trying everything you can. Finally, you get that breakthrough play. They got it. But defensively, they just continue to shine. This game meant something to Wink. I know Wink didn't say
100%. It does.
This meant beating Baltimore matters to Wink, and that's not saying he has, you know, animosity toward them. I just think that he.
No, you want to stick it to your former employer.
Absolutely, you want to stick it to your former employer. Defense continues to show out with
Julian Love, man. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy the development that these guys have gone through.
Adoree Jackson.
I'm really happy.
I mean, I didn't know Adoree Jackson could be this type of number CB1. The fact that he is, it's just.
I mean, I always believed that he was a really, really, really good CB2.
Exactly.
I didn't know he was locked down.
And when I say CB1, I mean, he followed CD Lamb around that game. He's followed DJ Moore around. That's what he's shadowing other teams' best receivers.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I mean, CD Lamb sort of took advantage of him a couple of times, but for the most part, he's held his own against some really good receivers in this league.
It makes watching James Bradbury ball out on Sunday Night Football hurt a little bit less.
Just a little bit less. Yeah.
Yeah.
That hurts though.
It does hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about. Go ahead.
I just want to say the special teams. First of all, Justin Tucker missing a kick. That's
doink.
Awesome.
Yeah. Even though it wouldn't have mattered for the final score.
But it's still,
just like, when it happens.
Talk about the tides turning with the Giants.
Seriously.
When even Justin fucking Tucker is missing field goals against us.
Not just missing, doinking. He's doinking them.
Think about that.
That's the second time this season the Giants have had a big field goal go the other way.
Yeah. Gary Brightwell having a great return.
I owe Gary Brightwell an apology strictly because of that return. I don't know if you remember my rant earlier in the season, but I did not understand why this man was on the roster. I believe he didn't even play special teams in college.
No.
What a return.
Yeah. Again, you're finding roles for your guys and they're excelling at it. That's just that's what coaching does.
And speaking of Gary Brightwell's return, do you know who had the key block on return?
Daniel Bellinger. This is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about
my guy, Big Belly.
Daniel Bellinger, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the rookies.
I don't think the Giants win this game if not for their rookies.
100%.
Evan Neal, great game, right? Kayvon Thibodeau, we talked about it, game-sealing play. But, dude, Daniel Bellinger and Wandale Robinson, and Wandale in his first game back, and Daniel Bellinger's role just continues to expand. Like, you don't see this type of – you don't see rookies this comfortable this early.
No.
Especially fourth-round picks.
Well, for Bellinger, the progression has been slow, but it has been steady.
Yes.
Every single week. I think he was on the field for every single passing attempt that the Giants had against the Ravens. Okay? They trust him. They trust him to pass block. They trust him to catch balls. Wandale Robinson. Holy shit. I picked him up in fantasy before the game because I had some injuries, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to start him, but I'll stash him on my bench because Weiss has been hyping him up for the last month.
I have. Last month, I've been talking about him since
the training camp. Yeah. Oh, okay. Listen. I'll give you the credit for hyping him up.
Can I take my victory lap?
You can. But you know what? I'm going to take half a victory lap because I was very on board with the Wandale pick. There were a lot of people who said, I don't understand it. It feels like a reach. He's undersized at the position historically. I don't understand it. Joe Shane can do whatever the fuck he wants. And I am going to follow him into battle because this man has earned the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to take that same attitude with Daniel Jones. I'm going to take that same attitude with Saquon Barkley. I think we touched on it last week.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe Shane drafts you, he has a plan for you. That plan will not work out 100% of the time. But if Joe Shane spends a second round pick on a receiver, there is a reason for it. And we were all scratching our heads at the draft. Well, not all of us, because we weren't. But a lot of people are scratching their heads at the draft.
Well,
saying,
I'll be honest. Well, I was scratching my head a little bit just because I thought there was a better receiver available.
Okay, but sure.
I wasn't like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? Like, like that.
We quickly found out that Kenny Golladay is not long for this roster. We quickly found out that Kadarius Toney, constantly injured. We don't know if the regime even likes him.
We don't even know what Kadarius Toney is.
We don't. Okay? It's two receivers down right away. All right? They draft you. They have a plan for you. We saw that plan. He was awesome this past Sunday. So.
And I think the plan, bang. When you talk about they have a plan for you, that goes to the philosophical alignment between the head coach and the general manager, or not even the head coach and general
absolutely
manager, the coaching staff and the front office,
everyone all around.
And you see that with guys like Bellinger and guys like Wandale Robinson. I think, you know, and part of the reason why I was so excited to see Wandale was because you saw the other rookies finding their roles, and you're like, okay, like they probably have a plan for this second round pick. And right out of the gate. I mean, not just a touchdown. He made some critical catches on third down. He had one drop, which I thought was a little bit of a bad throw. But, I mean, he should have caught it. That's fine.
Yeah. But, you know what, first game back.
Yeah, it was really his first game. I mean, he got hurt, like, on the second snap of week one. And it takes time to come back from a knee injury. In his first game, he didn't look overwhelmed. And that's the important thing here is, like, these rookies, like, not all of them are going to be, like, superstars, Pro Bowl-level players. But if they can be contributors, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
You know, like if a guy can, if you draft a guy, if Daniel Bellinger is just a guy that can contribute for 4 years as a fourth round pick, that's a good pick.
It's a home run.
You know? Yeah. You know, like if you, we're not sitting here saying Daniel Bellinger is going to be one of the five best tight ends in football, but if he can continue to contribute and continue to, not look overwhelmed on the football field, and the coaches can play to his strengths and he can take advantage of those opportunities. That's a good pick. Like that's
a great
pick.
That's
what you want.
Yeah.
Those late round picks. So,
yep.
Wandale, I think his role is going to continue to grow. It's like I said, they don't win this game without their rookie class. Their rookie class is really showing out, which it sucks because they lost two guys to a torn ACL.
Yep.
Beavers and DJ Davidson.
Yep.
And Marcus McKeaton, sorry, three guys.
Yeah.
So a lineman, a defense lineman, and a linebacker. So just to see the rookie class get opportunities, not look overwhelmed, that's got to make you so like happy as a Giant fan. It makes you happy knowing going forward, like they're only going to like this front office. It gives you hope that they're going to continue to bring in players that can excel in certain spots. And Wandale, I go back to it, man. I spoke about it before the season. I thought him and Barkley were going to be the two most exciting players in this offense. I talked about it when we do our mojo segments. And I really hope, man.
That people listened.
People downloaded after I said what I said. Look, I've been wrong on a lot of things. But I had such a conviction about this. I really hope people
downloaded. As did I with Bellinger.
Yeah, open up the Mojo app and download it. Excuse me, open up the App Store or Google Store, whatever type of phone you have where you can go and download apps. Downloaded Mojo, bought Wandale stock, and is now enjoying. Because nothing excites me more than when people make money.
There you go.
Off advice that I give them. But, But I really hope you guys bought Wandale stock. I think he's still a guy that I would buy right now. Just to like put it into perspective, right? When you look at the Mojo app, great layout, by the way, Wandale hasn't even reached what his sort of, you know, his peak was back in August was $9.38. And then he had that drop because of injuries. Well, right now he sits at $7.31. So just think about it. If he continues to contribute in August, right, and he didn't have like a stellar preseason where you're like, okay, I can see the rise. You know, from 9.38 in August, he dropped all the way. I think he dropped as low as like $7. Now he's at 7.31 after the performance on Sunday. I think he's only going to go up. Yeah, his role is only going to continue to grow. We don't know when Kadarius Toney's going to come on the field. We don't know even if he's healthy, whether he's going to be on the field.
I don't think he's going to play this year.
Wandale, there you go. Wandale is showing out. I think he's emerging as a legitimate receiver, a legitimate player in this offense. I would continue to buy his stock.
And I mean, I don't even know. Think about this. I don't even know what his target share was or what his snap count was. 3 receptions on 4 targets for 37 yards and a touchdown.
And
I mean, think about who's playing receiver for them. Marcus Johnson, Richie James, Daniel Bellinger had 38 receiving yards this past
Wandale,
weekend.
Wandale Robinson was their leading receiver. I got it right here. Wandale Robinson played 15 snaps.
That's insane. That's insane.
That's less than Matt Breida, Richie James, David Sills, Chris Myrick, Marcus Johnson. David Sills has emerged as the team's wide receiver 1, by the way, because
ridiculous.
He plays now 45 snaps most of any Crazy. Receiver. It was so Wandale on 15 snaps had 3 catches, what did you say, 37 yards and a touchdown?
Yeah.
I think that role is only going to expand. So if you're – I recommend
– buying low.
Pick them up on your fantasy team, but I also recommend downloading the Mojo app.
Feels like you're in Wolf of Wall Street right now. Like, the scene where Jonah Hill's on the phone. He goes, there's one thing I know about in life is airlines, yeah. And Kushan Airlines is the future of airlines. Wandale Robinson is the future of wide receivers.
I have a vision one day that I'm going to present – Wandale more like Leo presented Steve Madden.
You like that video that I tweeted out?
I do, yeah.
I want to suck you off, Steve.
One of my all-time favorite movies, by the way. I can watch the movie any day of the week.
It's probably watched once a month in this household.
Yeah, so Wandale. Yeah.
And Bellinger. Don't sleep on my guy.
Daniel Bellinger played 94% of the snaps.
There you go. That's what you need to see.
61 snaps. I believe that was even more than Saquon Barkley. Well, Saquon came off for a little bit, but just to put it in perspective what these rookies are doing, man, whether it's a guy that's getting limited snaps coming back from injury contributing, whether it's a guy that's sort of has emerged week to week to week in an expanded role, it just shows you big picture, front office, coaching staff aligned on what they look for in a player. Short term, hey, these rookies are getting better week to week as their roles expand.
Yeah.
And the Giants are winning games.
They are.
What more could you ask for?
I mean, this is crazy. I'm just like looking at the stat sheet. I mean, they got dominated on the stat sheet.
Yeah.
406 total yards, 238 total yards. Baltimore averaged 7 yards per play. Giants half that, 3.8. 23 first downs to 18 first downs, 210 passing yards to 173 passing yards. 5.74 yards per attempt to 5 yards per attempt.
And you know what the crazy part about all
211
this is,
like, rushing yards to 83 rushing yards.
Read the total plays.
Giants had 62, Baltimore had 58. So they had 4 more plays. Yeah,
wasn't even like Baltimore dominated the time of possession. You're like, well,
Baltimore's yards per carry 8.79, Giants 2.68.
I do think Baltimore got away from the running game. That was a big head scratcher to me. Why they didn't run the ball more?
I'm not
complaining.
Tyler Linderbaum, by the way,
very good player.
Guy's a stud.
Oh yeah,
jealous.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Easy. What did the gentleman say? My grandma could have scouted him.
Yeah, something like is that what he said?
Yeah, I said something like that. So similar here. I want to talk about moving forward, right? Because we talked about coming into it and what this team, like 3-1 start. And then, okay, maybe we can get one of these next 2 games. Green Bay doesn't look hot. Baltimore doesn't look hot. Nobody sat here and said, hey, we're going to win both these games. We're going to be 5-1. But when you look at the Giants' schedule going forward, and I know a lot of people have talked about this, they go to Jacksonville, then they go to Seattle. Then they host
underdogs, by the way, underdogs in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and then they host. So you got at Jacksonville, at Seattle, host the Texans, host the Lions before the Thanksgiving showdown in Dallas. Which, by the way, I am so happy the Giants aren't a terrible team. And
I know, dude, this is going to be a game with a lot of juice.
This is going to be game of the week right here.
I hope that they're healthy. I really hope that they're healthy.
And I don't think Jacksonville is a pushover. I know they've struggled, but this is still a tough game. Like, Jacksonville has a very, very good defensive line. I don't think fans should look at this and say, you know, oh, we got this. I think that the we got this game is the Houston game.
Yes,
but those other three, like at Seattle, Geno Smith's playing. I don't know. I can't explain what's happening with Geno Smith.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's my feeling on the Seahawks. Don't they just feel like a team that's bound to just come crashing back down to earth? I mean, we spent – I don't know about
well, that's what I thought Sunday was going to be for them. I thought Sunday was going to be the game they came crashing down to earth.
Who, the Seahawks?
Yeah, against Arizona.
Yeah, but, dude, Kyler and Cliff are not long for Arizona, especially Cliff. I think he's next coach that gets fired. But when it comes to Seattle, like 29th-ranked defense, Geno Smith playing at a level that he's never played at before for Pete Carroll, the dinosaur that we've spent the last 5 years shitting on, like – something's got to give, and I feel. I mean, who does Seattle play next week?
So Seattle has
Seattle's a 7-point underdog to the Chargers.
Yeah, at the Chargers next week.
So don't love that, but I'm not going into Seattle or Jacksonville for that matter, saying, all right, like they got this like locked up. Like there's a reason the spreads are what they are, especially when you look at the stat sheet for the Giants against the Ravens. I really, really.
Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, a better offensive line.
Yeah, but the 29th ranked defense, though. Like, Dable can scheme that, bro.
They force turnovers. Tariq Woolen is a very, 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 very good really rookie. Good.
Yeah.
Which, by another guy I liked in the draft. Since we're taking victory laps.
Go ahead.
People like to bring up a lot of my draft takes, so I like to remind people of my
that you are right. Take. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think they beat Jacksonville. I'm not picking them to lose the next four. Like, it's absolutely crazy, depending on their health. But it is absolutely crazy that we're sitting here at 5-1, which was basically where we had them total number of wins, and saying, "All right, what do we need for a wild card?"
Nah, I'm thinking they can compete in the division. I don't know why. I don't know why any fan wouldn't.
Huh?
I don't know why any fan wouldn't think they can't compete in the NFC.
Because the Eagles, and listen, it's not even that I think the Eagles are good. Their schedule is so easy. I think it's just going to be, it's not even so, like, in a normal year, if the Eagles have even an average strength of schedule, all right, maybe I believe that the Giants could catch them. I don't think that that's realistic. I think we're just looking at, like, let's get to 9. Let's just get to 9 wins. 10 would be like I'd throw a parade. And so we'll see what happens.
If they beat Jacksonville and then they beat Seattle.
Bro, they could be 9-1 going into Thanksgiving. Like, that's not crazy. Like, we're talking about their next game, 3-point spread, field goal. That's a pick 'em on a neutral field because they're going to Jacksonville.
Right.
Okay. Same thing with Seattle. I think currently it's basically a 2.5-3-point spread. Pick them on a neutral field. Toss-up game. Houston, worst team in the league. They're tanking for CJ Stroud.
If they win the next two, they're going to be 9-1. They're not going to lose until that Thanksgiving game. And
no,
I'm not saying they're going to lose on Thanksgiving either. I'm just saying these four games, I'll say this about these next four games. These next four games will tell me whether or not this team can compete in the NFC East.
Yeah.
I think they can. If they go 4-0, right? Let's just say they go 4-0, 9-1. First of all, you're 9-1. I don't know why you think you can't compete in the NFC East.
Oh, because the Eagles are probably going to be 11-0.
Even if the Eagles are 10-0. Even if the Eagles are 10-0. You're 9-1 And it's basically a – and you got two games with the Eagles and you got another two games with the – like you're 9-1, you can compete in the division. If they lose –
we're having this conversation.
I know. If they lose a couple of games – if they lose a couple of games, like let's say they – you know, let's say they lose to Jacksonville and Detroit, some of these – two of the next four. You're still thinking wild card, right? Because you're still –
I'm always thinking wild. I'm talking wild card right now.
But I look at these next four games and I say to myself, man, like if we just play like the way we've been playing, you're 9-1 going into the Thanksgiving game. 9-1. They could clinch a playoff spot by then. Like look at the rest of the NFC. Like they've already picked up – like right now they're in the wild card, right? They're a game up on Dallas, but Dallas is a tiebreaker. But then after that, like one of the – San Francisco or the Rams are going to win the NFC West. Tampa is going to win the South. So you're basically
competing. They look awful.
Yeah, they look awful, by the way, too. Yeah, right. But I'm talking in terms of the wild card team. So you got either the Rams or the Niners, right? Let's say it's the Rams. Let's say the Niners win the division. So you got the Rams, you got Seattle, you got Dallas, you got the Giants, who are 5-1, and who else you got in the NFC? It's in the wild card spot. You got those four teams, right? I mean, maybe Arizona figures it out, you know. So you think about
look for standings,
right? I should have pulled up these standings before I went on this.
I got it. Eagles 6-0, Giants 5-1, Cowboys 4-2, Vikings 5-1. The Packers turn it around; they're 3-3.
So yeah,
Bucks and Falcons both 3-3. Niners and Rams both 3-3. Seahawks 3-3.
So if the playoffs started today, you would have the Eagles as the bye, Minnesota, Tampa, San Francisco, and then the Giants, Cowboys, and Rams as the three wild card spots, right? So just to put it into perspective, the Giants are 5-1. They will be locked into the first wild card spot. Dallas is 4-2, right? And Dallas is the tiebreaker with the Giants. After that, you got the Rams, the Packers, and the Falcons in Seattle at 3-3. And then New Orleans and Washington at 2-4, and Arizona's 2-4 too. And then you get to the bottom of the NFC. My point is, the Giants are two games up on the Rams, the Packers. They actually have a tiebreaker with the Packers, and Atlanta, and Seattle. Now,
and I think they're better than all those teams.
Let's say they're better than Seattle and they're better than Atlanta, right?
So let's better than the Rams.
So now, fine, I'll give you the Rams too, but just for the sake of argument, because they're the defending champs. You got the Packers at 3-3, the Rams at 3-3, and the Cowboys at 4-2, and the Giants at 5-1. So you got four teams battling for three spots. One of those teams, the Giants, are two games up on the Rams and the Packers, who are 3-3. So put into perspective, the Giants are gaining ground on the teams that are in the hunt, right? You win these four, you're 9-1.
Yeah.
Look at Green Bay's schedule. Look at what Green Bay has to go through now. Green Bay has – they got Washington. Then they go at Buffalo, at Detroit, host the Packers, at the
host
Titans.
The who?
Host the Cowboys, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Titans and then Eagles. So
that's not easy.
Three of their next six, right, are against Bills, Packers, Eagles. They host the Commanders – excuse me, they're at the Commanders, and then they are at the Lions, and then they have the Titans too. Definitely not an easy schedule when you look at it. So the Giants continue to gain ground on the NFC teams that are below them in the standings. These four games are the perfect time to do it because these are
100%
inferior opponents. And like I said, come November, they could be basically – come Thanksgiving, they could basically be a lock for the playoffs if they just rip off – If they rip off three of the next four, because remember they still got the Commanders twice.
8-2.
Yeah, they still got the Commanders twice. The Colts, I don't know how you feel about them. Their toughest game.
Oh really? You don't know how I feel about them? Should I let you know how I feel about them?
I was trying to set you up.
Yeah.
So you look at like the remaining like their toughest games left are obviously the two Eagle games, the Thanksgiving Cowboy game, and then the Viking game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that – I don't say, man, we got no shot against any of those teams.
We absolutely have a shot.
So that's where they are. You got to be realistic about it. With wins come expectations. I'm expecting this team to be a playoff team now.
Yeah, me too. I was going to bring something up and I totally forgot it. So there you go.
Hey, it's five. We're 5-1.
5-1.
5-1.
Should we wrap it up?
Wrap us up.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Wise at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll be back later this week with episode 2 and our special guest. We'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.